Members, I would like to call the meeting to order. Please silence all electronic devices. Lindsay, please call the roll.
Chair Grawl.
Present.
Vice Chair Byrd.
Here.
Ranking Republican Whip Gregory.
Here.
Ranking Member Driscoll.
Here.
Representatives Alexander.
Here.
Beltran.
Here.
Brannon.
Here.
Lusada Cabrera.
Here.
Diamond.
Here.
Duggan has been excused. Fernandez Barkeen. Fetterhoff.
Here.
Gottlieb.
Here.
Grego.
Here.
Hart.
Here.
Learned.
Here.
Plakin.
Here.
Roach.
Present.
Salzman. Snyder.
Here.
Trunell.
Here.
Ex officio Clemens.
Here.
A quorum is present, Madam Chair.
Welcome back, members. Today we have one bill for consideration on the agenda. Representative Andrade, you are recognized to present HB 5C.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair Byrd, and Whip Gregory. House Bill 5C removes from Florida statute the exemption from consumer protections on social media platforms for companies that happen to own theme parks in Florida.
Members, having explained the bill, are there questions on the bill? Representative Diamond, and questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, refresh my recollection if you can, because why were theme parks originally exempt from the prohibitions in Senate Bill 7072?
Representative Andrade.
Thank you, Chair. If you recall, it wasn't theme parks that were exempt. It was companies that owned theme parks. That was an amendment that was tacked on the second time it came over to the House to essentially not necessarily bring in companies like Disney, which owned Disney Plus. That was the stated reasoning for it, to provide that kind of carve-out of last year when this bill was initially proposed.
Representative Diamond.
And Representative, the other question I had that you could help me understand is, you know, we've got this opinion now by the federal court that has struck down this law as unconstitutional and violating the First Amendment. As, you know, many of us argued, it was unconstitutional at the time we were debating it. Does your bill in removing this exemption for theme parks somehow fix the constitutional problems with the underlying bill?
Representative Andrade.
Thank you, Chair. And Representative Diamond, I would, a lot of times when we talk publicly about judicial decisions, we say things like struck down. This bill has not been struck down. An injunction was put in place by Judge Hinkle in the Northern District of Florida last year. It's currently on appeal. That injunction's on appeal. And the reasoning that Judge Hinkle did provide made some conclusions. No, I don't believe that this one bill solves all the concerns that Judge Hinkle brought up, but it does solve one concern, the concern about treating two different platforms differently based on their ownership of the theme park in Florida.
Representative Grego, Gottlieb, and questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It happens all the time, in fact.
I know.
It happened earlier today. So. Rep. Andrade, I'm curious, if we're trying to fix a problem that that Hinkle brought to our attention in June of 2021, why are we doing it now in the special session? Why didn't we do it during our regular session? It obviously existed then.
Representative Andrade.
Thank you, Chair. Resident Gottlieb, that's a great question. You know, session is fast, and it goes very quickly, and we don't always get to solve every single problem. I had the fun experience of only passing one of the seven bills that I filed this past legislative session. So there's always things that you leave on the table. And this is just an opportunity to address one issue. And the timeliness of it, there is an appeal going on, like I mentioned to Representative Diamond. And that appeal is coming up quickly. So being able to address one component that Judge Hinkle brought up prior to those decisions being rendered and that oral argument being brought, I think is something that's valid.
Representative Gottlieb, additional question.
The language that we're taking out was language that was specifically put in by the governor and Disney. Is that correct, as I understand it?
Representative Andrade.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Gottlieb, no. I don't believe the governor passes law. that's the legislature's responsibility.
Representative Gottlieb.
And I understand that we could pick her on that, but who crafted the law that we're striking out now, that the intention is to strike out now? Was that not a byproduct of a conversation between Disney and the governor?
Representative Andrade.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Gottlieb, I do not know. What I know is that this language was amended on to the bill, and then the bill sponsor in the House presented it on the floor, and then it passed.
Representative Hart, any questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Andrade, I just had one question. Maybe I didn't truly get the... I heard you all kind of talk about it. But this bill does correct one part of the unconstitutionality of parts of that 7072? Senate Bill 7072. Does that correct part of that?
Representative Andrade.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Hart, yes.
Representative Hart, additional question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So why do we not correct all the others things that were supposedly unconstitutional as a part of that bill in this one that we're doing today?
Representative Andrade.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Hart, I answered your initial question, very succinctly. I would challenge the premise of the question slightly. The question about whether or not that the rest of the language of that bill and now statute, whether or not it is constitutional, mm-hmm. Is still an open question that's being discussed by the court. This is just one section that we could very easily address during a special session.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Learned, any questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative. I wanted to ask, and I understand you were going back and forth about it being struck down and an injunction, and I don't know what any of that means. Can you just explain to me what happens if we amend a bill that is not enforceable because it was found to be unconstitutional?
Representative Andrade.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Learned, so the injunction in this circumstance was issued by the Northern District of Florida Judge Hinkle. In the order, you'll see that there was a bond that was required to be posted in the event that Judge Hinkle was wrong. That's a common occurrence when you issue an injunction because those questions are not fully resolved yet. So the questions aren't fully resolved yet. This is one section that kind of distracted from the ultimate purpose of the bill that we both voted on to really try and rein in and curtail some of the bias and prejudice that we've seen administered by social media platforms in recent history.
Representative Learned.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, this bill had bipartisan and unanimous support from the Republican caucus, at least. And now we're coming back and we're, undoing it. Can you explain to me what changed?
Representative Andrade.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Learned, I love that you called it bipartisan support by the Republican Party, but...
bipartisan support, but it was unanimous within the Republican caucus.
There are two main questions that are raised by Judge Hinkle's order. One is about the content restrictions and whether or not they survive strict scrutiny, which is the question that is the main focus of the overarching bill. And the other question was the distinction between similar companies by virtue of the fact that they happen to own another type of business within our jurisdiction. That's a much easier question for us to resolve and one that we're willing to take off the table to continue pursuing the overarching, much broader goal of the underlying bill.
Representative Learned.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And, hopefully for the last time in this committee, I get to remind everybody that not being a lawyer, I'm kind of incredibly confused by this. And also, I think we're missing the broader point.
Representative Learned, do you have a question?
I do,
as opposed to debate?
Yeah.
Thank you.
So my question is, we did this amendment this carve out from the bill last year to protect Disney Plus, essentially, and this was in transcripts of emails that I'm sure you saw too, to protect Disney Plus, parents from seeing comments posted by pedophiles. They wanted the ability to police their platform to protect kids. That's what this was done for. So why are we now undoing it and putting Florida's kids and kids across America in danger?
Representative Andrade.
Representative Lerner, I would challenge the premise of that question as well. If you dive into the purpose of 230, the Decency in Communications Act, I believe, or the Communications Decency Act, Section 230 allows for websites, digital platforms to engage in some, editorial discretion, some kind of censorship without fear of liability. That Section 230 was passed in 1996. We've seen that it's been aggressively abused since. The distinction between protecting children from predators and the purpose of the bill last year, which was deplatforming people based on their, partisan political beliefs and candidates in the process, as you recall, during the debate on this amendment specifically, that wasn't the intent or the target of the bill, and Section 230 still very much operates to protect children from the types of scenarios that you brought up. The question now is, can 230 be abused? And that was the question that the bill ultimately was trying to resolve. Not the obvious, but the new uses for 230 that some platforms have been using.
Madam Chair.
Representative Lerner, question.
Section 230 is a federal law, not a state law. Is that correct?
Representative Andrade, you're recognized.
Yeah.
Madam Chair.
Representative Lerner.
Is there anything in the underlying bill that you're trying to amend today with yours that that protects these platforms from pedophiles and predatory behavior on their platform? Do these companies have an ability to protect children if you strike down this part of the law?
Representative Andrade.
The very short and obvious answer is absolutely yes.
Representative Lerner, do you have an additional question?
I just wish I could ask the governor's office why those emails existed where they needed the carve out.
Do you have any questions for the bill sponsor? Representative Driscoll, and questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good to see you. I do have more questions. So, and I apologize if this was covered right at the beginning and had to step out for just a moment. But could you tell me, and I know this wasn't your bill last year, but to the best of your understanding and knowledge, why did we need this carve out last year?
Representative Andrade.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Driscoll, you're right. I wasn't the sponsor of this bill last year. So I did go back and look at the discussion, the presentation of this specific amendment when it came back to the House floor. And it really was designed to say, some social media platforms operate differently than others, and there are some that might be caught up in a net that we might not understand them to be required to be caught up in. That was pretty much the argument on the floor that I'm summarizing. So this was really designed to provide a very, I would say, inelegant solution in the very final days of our 2021 legislative session to carve out, companies like Disney that have platforms, and it was the most simple solution at the time. We've had the benefit of time, right? We're not trying to pass legislation in the course of a week, and try and avoid unintended consequences. We've got the benefit of the time, and we know that this exception is no longer necessary.
Representative Driscoll.
Yes, thank you. Why is it not necessary?
Representative Andrade.
I would probably quote some of your colleagues who said that it was targeted towards specific businesses. It was a carve-out that was laughable. It was just completely unfair, and it was somehow a preemption designed to benefit one company over another. And citing more specifically Judge Hinkle's opinion, it just has a unconstitutional disparate impact on the exact same companies doing the exact same thing.
Representative Driscoll.
Thank you. So you're saying that you didn't agree with us then, but you agree with my colleagues now? But you said you would quote some of my colleagues. I'm not sure when in time you're quoting those colleagues and which colleagues, and could you provide more clarity about that?
Representative Andrade.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, Representative Driscoll. I would quote Representative Escamani when she said on the House floor on this specific language that we're pulling back out now. Mm-hmm. I think this exemption is really an example of a loophole. It feeds into the fact that this bill is political in nature, and I find this amendment to be very comical. Or Representative Lerner, who said, I'm one of the most pro-business Democrats in this chamber. I think as a body, we need to be careful what we're doing, where we're creating these preemptions that produce unintended consequences down the road. I encourage us to write laws that are more broadly applicable so so they are less targeted at one entity. So I guess you could say that I was inspired by Representative Escamani, Representative Learned's arguments last year.
Yep. Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. But the thing about that is that you said we've had the benefit of time. So why don't we delve into that a little bit more? Why don't you tell me what it is that Disney has done, having the benefit of time, that makes your bill necessary now?
Ranking Member Driscoll, do you have a question about the substance of the bill?
Oh, I believe that is about the substance of the bill. As I understand it, if I could set the predicate, as I understand Rep. Andrade, he said he's had, the legislature now has had the benefit of time, and now they've been able to see that a company like Disney doesn't need the carve-out that was previously established by Senate Bill 7072. And so what I'm asking is, with the benefit of time, what have you seen Disney do by act or maybe omission throughout time that now warrants House Bill 5C that we're considering today?
Thank you. Representative Andrade.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Driscoll. I guess what I would say is back to my answer to Representative Gottlieb about, you know, looking back, not having, you know, more than a week to review these and the ability, like Representative Learned was concerned about, to protect children. We know that this carve-out wasn't necessary to protect children. We know that putting every single social media platform on the same playing field has no detrimental effect, causes no harm. And, I mean, at the end of the day, it's got nothing to do with what any company did in the interim. I don't like carve-outs. You know, the only distaste or dislike I have for anybody or anything related to this bill is carve-outs. So I'm happy that we're able to rectify something that I, you know, wasn't a fan of at the time that it passed.
Mm-hmm. Representative Driscoll.
Thank you. Rep. Andrade, who asked you to bring this bill?
Do you have a question about the substance of the bill?
Well, I think that is important on the substance of the bill. Like, for example, I get tons of emails about, like, property insurance. People, their rates are too high. There's, like, public outcry about it. I'm just curious, like, maybe I'll ask it that way. I mean, who asked you to bring it? Do you know?
So, Ranking Member Driscoll, I would say that the bill is in response to the call, the expanded call from the governor. And so Representative Andrade is the sponsor of the bill in response to the expanded call issued by the governor.
So the governor asked them to bring the bill.
Well, the governor expanded the call this morning, and this bill and the other one that was added to the special session is in response to the expanded call. Mm-hmm. Do you have any additional questions for the bill sponsor?
I don't think so.
Just 1 minute, let me make sure, before we go back to Representative Alexander, I want to make sure that we get members before we go back to members who've already had an opportunity to ask questions. Representative Alexander, you're recognizing questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, I think I heard it, but if you can clarify, why did you vote for the bill in 2021?
Representative Andrade.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Alexander, as you well know, having served longer in this body than I have, you sometimes vote for bills that, while you don't get everything in them, you get almost everything, you never let, you know, perfect be the enemy of good.
Representative?
That's right.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. And so at what point were you inspired to run this bill?
Representative Andrade.
When the opportunity presented itself to go correct a problem with the bill that, you know, I wasn't a fan of at the time.
Representative Alexander.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative. When did you recognize it was a problem with the bill? Is it an anecdotal, or is it a what trigger manifested your understanding that it was problematic?
I feel like we've been down this road with some of the questions already, but Representative Andrade, I'll give you one last opportunity to answer.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Alexander, since the beginning, I'm very consistent with the fact that I'm not the biggest fan of carve-outs. I don't think carve-outs actually achieve, you know, their stated purpose. And a lot of times they do have unintended consequences. Playing favorites, treating people on the same playing field differently is something that I thought we should all get behind. And it was my understanding that's why this language was opposed by, you know, the you know, my colleagues in the back rows last year. I agree with you. I don't like carve-outs. So I'm happy to go address it now when the opportunity presents itself.
Representative Alexander.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, do you think the premise of the bill being brought forward is centered around the policy or centered around something else?
I think that's outside the scope of the bill before us today. Do you have any questions about the bill that we're considering today?
I'll save my thoughts for debate.
Do you have anyone else before I go back to Representative Gottlieb and then Representative Learned? Representative Gottlieb, and questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's part two of the House analysis deals with fiscal analysis and economic impact. And then part C says that the bill removes a provision that excludes certain entities, which may have an economic impact on such entities. Do you have any idea what the economic impact, Rep. Andrade, is going to be on Disney, which is Florida's, I believe, our largest employer and provides a huge impact to our general revenue?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Gottlieb, in reality, I think very little. If you recall what the underlying bill applied to, the FDUPTA claim, if you, I actually had to do this research in my private practice yesterday, FDUPTA claim measurements, it's not guesswork. It's the difference in the value that you anticipated paying for and the value of the product you were provided. That's the measure of damages under a Florida Deceptive and Unfair Trade Practices Act claim. So the measure of damages there is minimal, if anything. And then the fines for deplatforming political candidates, you know, whether statewide or local, I don't anticipate political candidates making Disney Plus or Peacock or other social media platforms their venue of choice to get their political message out there. So there's very little risk of them being deplatformed in the process. So I'm giving a practical analysis if I were actually to try and guess how the fiscal would affect, but I don't anticipate much, if anything.
Representative Gottlieb, additional question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I mean, you seem to be answering in terms of litigation, but do we know what Disney is going to have to do, you know, inside as a corporation to try to comply with this new law, whatever they had to do before to comply and now what they have to do, and coupled with House Bill C-3, the special session Bill 3. I mean, it seems like, do you have any idea what the impact of both of those bills together are going to be on Disney?
Representative Andrade, you may answer that question to the extent that it applies to this bill, and I would ask Representative Gottlieb that you have to direct that other question about 3C to the bill sponsor when we see
understand.
That.
If he can answer, if not, I understand. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Gottlieb, the underlying Senate Bill 7072 related to making sure you have publicly available rules and that everybody knows how those rules are being applied and being followed. So I don't believe the compliance requirements by eliminating this carve-out for one company are at all going to increase the costs to comply with this law. And again, it's putting every company on the same playing field. So I'm not 100% sure necessarily why that would be a good policy consideration for me to take into account today.
Representative Learned, question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just want to go back to a minute for where the bill came from. Because I heard the exchange with Ranking Member about keeping it to the scope of the bill. But, I think it does a disservice in the sense that the governor expanded the call for the special session exactly 1 minute before he filed this bill.
Representative Learned, if you would like
to... I guess my question is, how did you write this bill in 1 minute? That's my question.
Representative Learned, that is outside the scope of the bill. And... that is a process question. If you would like to take up process questions or debate process, you can debate process, but it is not a question for the bill sponsor about the content of the bill. Okay. Are there additional questions on the substance of the bill?
Yes, Madam Chair. You know, I appreciate, you know, Representative quoting me to myself. That was helpful as far as making sure we don't do specific business carve-outs, right? Like, I stood by that comment then. I stand by that comment now. But in the, you know, 11 months since we passed this with unanimous Republican support last time, we've had 11 months to come up with a cleaner version of an ability to keep kids safe without just repealing this carve-out, right? Why don't we run a version of this bill that keeps kids safe on Disney Plus?
Sorry, Representative Andrade, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Learned, I'm going to have to challenge the premise of your question, because if the removal of this language causes that much harm and concern, I'm racking my brain to understand why this language was so heavily opposed being added in a year ago, 11 months ago, by my colleagues in the back rows. Like a unanimous overarching no was heard in the back rows, you know, in response to this language being added in. And the argument about protecting children was not the justification for putting this in. So I challenge the premise of the question because I don't believe it's realistic. I don't believe that, you know, it's actually applicable. And I can affirmatively tell you without a shadow of a doubt that Section 230 still allows any social media platform, whether or not they were exempted previously or not, to protect children. Okay.
Members, it's time to move on to the amendment. Draft request 84476 by Representative Learned. Representative Learned, you're recognized to present your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Since the entire bill we're talking about today has been struck down as unconstitutional by a federal court, this bill simply repeals the law. This amendment repeals the law. And that, Madam, I really should have gone to law school before joining this committee. Thank you.
Are there questions of the amendment sponsor? Seeing no questions. Is there public testimony on the amendment? No public testimony. Members were in debate on the amendment. Is there debate? Ranking Member Driscoll, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Madam Chair.
And thank you, Rep. Learned, for the bill. The amendment, gosh, I did go to law school. I know better. Thank you for the amendment. You know, I understand your amendment and receive it as a noble attempt to actually try to do something productive with our time here today, in the sense that we are debating a bill on a law that has been struck down. Like, just the inefficiency of that in terms of our time, in terms of taxpayer dollars, I cannot even begin to describe how inefficient all of this is. And so I appreciate your amendment to try to bring us back into alignment. You're right, we did argue a year ago that this bill was unconstitutional, and the federal court agreed. And so to me, your amendment is the only logical course of action today, and that's why I'll be voting up on it, so thank you.
Additional debate, members. Representative Andrade.
Thank you, Chair. I would just ask the members to vote this down. While I've already addressed it, I'll just remind the panel, the committee today, that no, this language has not been struck down. It's been enjoined. There are absolutely some federal questions about the content regulation that are applicable, that are soon to be decided by federal courts. And to fully eliminate this will actually leave some questions unanswered for future legislatures and other states in how best to protect their citizens from overreaching social media platforms that may be abusing their power.
Representative Learned, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I don't know what the word enjoined means, but I do know what unconstitutional means. And this bill was unconstitutional then. It's unconstitutional now. We should amend the entire thing out of existence.
Having closed on the amendment, all those in favor of the amendment indicate by saying yay.
Yay.
All those opposed, no.
No.
No. The amendment fails. Members, we are back on the bill in public testimony. Is there public testimony? Seeing no public testimony, members, we're in debate. Representative Hart in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Andrade, I find it rather concerning that we're here to deal with Disney when people in my district cannot pay their rent, when affordable housing is just at an all-time risk of people being displaced, that there's just so many more needs. And Disney's been around since the 60s with this carve-out. But it appears that immediately upon them talking about don't say gay, immediately we get this bill to make sure that they lose their carve out. So I've been trying to sitting here just trying to listening to you all attorneys, trying to figure out if we've let them have this for 60 years. 40, 50, whatever the number of years. No, I mean, they have been their own district with all of their own, running their own show, basically, is what Disney has been doing all these years. I know we're just talking about their social media piece right now, but the fact that they've been whoever they are forever, now all of a sudden we come back from last year and say, let's not allow them to do this anymore. I just think we should have used our time a little bit more wisely and worked on the real issues that our constituents have. The things that I'm getting from my constituents in the email is, that's not important, Representative. I need you to be concentrating on X, Y, Z. And that's what I continuously hear. I mean, I have like 400 emails that we got in the last, I don't even know where the people get the information from, that they can send you that many that quickly. But that's what's happening. So, for me, it's like, really? I think we need to have taken this time to seriously consider some real issues that our constituents are having. And for that reason, I won't be able to support this. Thank you.
Representative Gottlieb in debate.
You know, I agree with the question that brought out the timing of the bill. And I just think it's troubling, in all honesty, to sit here and say it's about the Constitution or about correcting the Constitution when it's clear, at least to me, that this is not about rectifying a mistake that we made, especially, you know, when we talk about the fact, well, it's still in litigation and these constitutional questions are still being answered and vetted. I think it's disingenuous to say we're going to fix this part. Really, what this coupled with HBC3 is that, you know, from my perspective and viewpoint, the governor didn't like the fact that Disney stood up to him on a bill and asked him to cut it back. And so here we are, you know, as a body, not talking about kitchen table issues, not fixing that we should. We may come back in May to do that, maybe. You know, but instead what we're doing is sort of flexing that cultural muscle because we can and saying, you know, don't talk back to me. How dare you stand up to us? And I just think that, you know, from a lawyer's perspective, it's clearly not about the Constitution. It smacks of just being a punitive legislature. We carved out something for you when you were giving us money, lining our pockets, and were our friend. But if you talk back to us, you know, damn the torpedoes, we're going to do everything we can to take back the gifts and favors that we've given to you. And maybe we're right to do that. I think, you know, we were right to say Disney doesn't belong or doesn't deserve this carve out, this particular bill. But when you couple this with the other bill, you know, it just for me as a legislator, as somebody who comes up here to really try to do some good, to help the people of the state of Florida, this is not the issues that I was voted, that I think people sent me here for. These are not the issues that I came here for. And I just don't understand it. It's, you know, my time is valuable. I think all of our times are valuable. And I'm frustrated, as I'm sure a lot of other people are on both sides of the fence, because I think to a certain extent, we all feel like we have a gun to our head for some of this legislation. And I just don't understand how within 1 minute we're told the special session's being expanded. There's two new bills and House analysis. This isn't something that happened in a minute. This is something that is designed, premeditated, prefabricated, and it's political banter. It's not about the Constitution. And I can't support it for that measure, even though I agree with you, we shouldn't have had this carve out in the first place. But this is not about a carve out. This is about standing up for what's right and not being bullied, as I see it. And I can't support this bill.
Representative Alexander in debate. Representative Salzman in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to take a moment to thank the sponsor, Representative Andrade. When I saw the bill, I immediately pulled it up. It was just a few hours ago, read the analysis, and I mean, I wasn't even through reading the analysis when I got the text message to ask me if I had any questions. And I had a lot of questions on the bill, and I just wanted to commend the representative. I'm so impressed at the knowledge that you have and the work that you put in these hours that you worked on it, and I'm grateful for you taking the time to answer those questions. I certainly support the bill today. I didn't understand what the purpose was at first, but I see it now, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to support you. Thank you.
Representative Learned in debate.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I think it's funny that we had zero public testimony today. We all received zero emails from anybody calling for this issue. And quite candidly, we did, because between the time we filed this amendment and this committee hearing, the 100,000 Disney employees, or the hundreds of thousands of family members that they have, or the millions of people who are affected by their business in the Orlando area, would not have been able to get in their car and even drive here. There's 100,000 employees there. They have firefighters, law enforcement officers, they operate hospitals, and we are punishing them to score partisan political points and raise money from California. That's what this is about. This carve-out was stupid then, and I agree with you. It was stupid then, and it's stupid now. But, you know, and I'll take your word for it that you had this great idea and wrote the bill, filed it, and had the staff analysis done within 60 seconds. But if we had taken our time, we probably could have found a way to do this bill that would have kept Disney Plus and the kids on it safe from pedophiles and predators in a way that was smart. We could have kept a carve-out in to keep kids safe, and we chose not to. And that's why I'm against this bill.
Representative Beltran.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Rep, for this good bill. I want to take a little bit of a different perspective on this bill. There's been a suggestion, there's been a reversal of policy, and I want to explain why that's not the case. We did this bill last year. It was almost this day, almost a year ago when we had the bill. The bill was bouncing back and forth in the last days of session. And as part of that give and take, we put in a provision. The provision basically accepted, among other things, the Disney Plus service from our deplatforming bill. Right, wrong, or indifferent, that's what we did last year. We also had another provision that's another important provision that we've really spoke about very little today, and that's the severability clause in the bill. It's Section 6 of the bill last year. It says, if any provision of this act or the application thereof to any person or circumstance is held invalid, the invalidity shall not affect other provisions or applications of the act which can be given effect without the invalid provision or application. And to this end, the provisions of this act are declared severable. Sorry, I'm reading the legalese real quick. But the provision was part of the give and take. That was our give and take, bouncing back and forth. We decided that if any part of this bill was questioned and enjoined or prohibited by a court, that the rest of the bill would remain intact. That was the legislative will. That's what anyone who voted for this bill last year voted for. That's what the legislature said through bicameralism and presentment to the governor. That's what the governor signed. We made a conscious decision. If anything was thrown out, we wanted the rest of the bill to remain intact and enforceable, even if that might upset the give and take that we had engaged in. That's what the severability provision is. You are saying prospectively, making that judgment, in the event of a legal challenge, you want the legislation to be robust at the expense of the precision, at the expense of precision of what you originally intended. Now, we didn't get rid of this provision. Did we get rid of this provision? No. A federal judge did. A United States federal district judge. The court said it didn't meet constitutional scrutiny. Right, wrong, or indifferent. Our bill's been enjoined. The court said that, enjoined our law. We worked hard on this law. It was one of the better bills we did, quite frankly, last session. We were taking on some of the most powerful companies in the world. It was a good piece of legislation. We fought hard in the legislature, and we fought the decision in court, and we're fighting it here and in the appeals court. But the judge didn't follow his holding to the conclusion. He acknowledged the severability provision. He discusses it three times in his opinion. But unlike his notions about protecting big tech, he didn't care to enforce the rest of the law, including the severability provision we passed. He said that we wouldn't have passed this bill if it would subject Disney Plus to this bill, among other things, even though we specifically said in the severability provision that we would. We did want this bill to be effective. That's what a severability clause is. We're saying if you throw one part out, please enforce the rest. That's what we said. He didn't believe us. And we're coming back and saying, yes, we meant what we said. The law means what it does, both the Constitution and the severability provision. And we were to sit here and do nothing and let this bill be severed and let this bill be enjoined because we put something in that the court struck down, that would be reversing policy for us to sit here and do nothing. That would be saying we didn't mean it when we had a severability provision. We're going to sit here, let the whole bill be jeopardized, risk losing the appeal, even though we said less than a year ago that's not what we want to happen if there's a successful challenge to the bill.
Representative Plakin, in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Of course, there's been a lot of talk about the constitutionality of last year's bill, and those are fair questions, but that is far from a settled question in the federal court system. There was five allegations in that bill, five counts. Count three specifically talks about 14th Amendment issues regarding the carve-out that we're talking about here today. So I'm not a lawyer, like some of the members here, but it seems to me by us passing this, we make the bill, make the existing law more constitutional, if that's a word, or has a better chance in the courts, the overall bill, if we reverse this carve-out. It was brought up today that maybe this isn't important. Why aren't we doing this, that, or the other thing? Other bills we could be working on. Well, we're likely going to have another special session. We got a lot done during this session. But I'll agree this is not the most important thing in the world. But we are here this week for something very important. And that is for congressional maps. I could argue one of the most important things that we do. So to the notion from Representative Driscoll that talked about, you know, this is taking our time when we could work on other things, it looks like it's going to be about 48 minutes of our time to address this correction of last year's bill. And it's tax dollars. We're using tax dollars. Well, we're all here for something very, very important. So I would reject that this is a, you know, time or tax issue because it's really not. This is about correcting something that perhaps should have been, especially in retrospect, addressed last year. And, of course, the court has a concern, as like I started as well. So I urge everybody to support this bill.
Representative Alexander.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If you put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig. This is a classic example when one person has absolute power. This is the outcome of our democracy. When we talk about checks and balances and the core essence of what that is. And I've had my fair share of debates, But for the first time in this process here in Florida, I am deeply concerned about absolute power. Because no man, no woman, no party, no individual should have absolute power in our democracy. We can talk about the bill, the premise of the bill, and I'm not here to question your motives. I just asked a question and you answered, and I appreciate that. And I hear about timing, we talk about legal terms, and I appreciate your thoughts and perspectives, Representative Beltran. And Representative Plakin, I hear you loud and clear about 48 minutes, but there's a lot of things that are really important to the people of Florida that we can talk about and use those 48 minutes. We are driving our state democracy off the railroad tracks. And arrogance is a very powerful tool for self-destruction. And what's going to happen when you, when we all, because this isn't personal, and I respect you all, when we look back on our term and our tenure in the legislature, whether it's 4 years or 8 years or 6 years, you will have to wrestle with the reality of what we're doing here in our state. I'm not here to say what is right and what is wrong, but absolute power for one person or one individual to dictate what we do in this process is a threat to our democracy. And so I am hoping and praying as we move forward, and as the governor moves on and runs for president of the United States, that we will be able to get back to some form of understanding of why checks and balances in this process is important. The governor is entitled to do whatever the governor wants to do, obviously. Hey, he's using his power however he sees fits. But I think we also have a constitutional responsibility as a part of this government, the legislative body, to do our part as well.
Representative Diamond, in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, I have three little kids, and they love that that Disney show Encanto and that song "We Don't Talk About Bruno." I think you know that song, and we don't talk about Ron DeSantis in this committee, but that's obviously the unspoken person that's driving the agenda. And what are our priorities here? I mean, you know, when I look at this bill, I mean, is this bill? We are up here in a special session at taxpayers' expense to complete our constitutional responsibility to draw the and apportion the congressional the representation for members of Congress for this state. And we are having a discussion about amending a law that has been enjoined for violating the First Amendment. You know, I mean, how is this at all a good use of our time? What are our priorities? I mean, and I say this, you know, Representative, I mean, this thing popped this morning, has been discussed, and I'm just frustrated because, you know, we haven't, you know, how is this more important than the issues we were working on with regard to the Surfside building collapsing, or the affordable housing crisis, or the insurance crisis? And by the way, we're up here because we have a real obligation to be drawing these districts according to the law in the state and federal constitution, and instead, we're talking about Disney World. And we're doing that because Ron DeSantis wants to be in the headlines on that issue. But we should have a responsibility not to Ron DeSantis. We should have a responsibility to the constituents that we serve in this state. And they don't want us up here talking about Disney World. They want us up here doing our jobs. I am so frustrated because I don't see us doing that. I see this as political theater. And it's political theater that Floridians are paying for. And, you know, I just
I don't know what to say other than that. I wish I didn't have to make that the debate, but that's how I feel. And, you know, when I look at bill after bill after bill that we pass, and the people in the minority on this committee for years say, well, you know, this bill violates the federal Constitution. And that argument is summarily dismissed, and then the federal courts strike it down, whether it's this bill that, you know, we're talking about from last session, or whether it's Senate Bill 90 or all the other ones that, by the way, taxpayers are spending $675 per hour per lawyer for state officials to go to federal court and defend these things. You know, I just wish that some of us on this committee who are expressing these concerns would be genuinely heard. But anyway, I agree with my colleague, Representative Alexander. I think this is a distraction from issues that we were sent up here to work on, and we should be working on. And I'm disappointed that this is what we're doing. I think it's beneath the dignity of this House to be focused on these issues. We shouldn't be up here fighting Mickey Mouse. We should be up here fighting for our constituents. Thank you.
Representative Driscoll, Ranking Member Driscoll on debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just in time. You know, Rep. Andrade, I get the sense probably that I know that you were probably kind of had this placed in your lap, but today, you know, I got to say, today I was traveling up here. I got the word about the expansion of special session while I was in the car. I was grateful to make it here just before we gaveled in for organizational session. There's been zero time for me to analyze this. There's been zero time for me to communicate it back to my constituents. And to Rep. Learnett's point, you know, it's no wonder we haven't had any public testimony here. And if you heard frustration in the questions that were being asked, particularly from me and from my caucus, it's because the one thing that I hate worse than carve-outs is when this process is not taken seriously and given the respect that it deserves. And that's what's happening today. For this to be dropped on us just hours ago is not right. Not just unfair to legislators like me who want to read the bills and ask the questions and do the research, but it's unfair to the people of Florida. And I think that's something that we should all care about, no matter which row we sit in the legislative chamber. This is wrong. The only thing that changed from when we had 7072 and what is happening today, April 19, 2022, is that the governor and Disney have been in a very public fight. This should not be our fight. This is not this chamber's fight, right? We were charged to come back up here. The original call for the special session was to fix the congressional maps, which we also should have completed on time. We didn't. No crying over spilled milk. That's what we were charged to do. That's what we've been talking about with our constituents for the past, you know, however long it's been since we got that call for special session. Not this, and it's wrong, and it's rushed. I think also, you know, just trying to think through, and I thank you for pointing that out, your point was well taken about the law being enjoined, not being struck down. You're right, I correct my language around that earlier. But the point is that there are some significant flaws with the bill. I think even by your own admission, you were explaining there's some significant challenges with the bill. There's some parts of it maybe that were good, but there probably some parts that could be fixed, some parts that you can just roll to federal law and look to protections for that. All of that suggests to me that there is a broader, lengthier conversation that needs to be had around this beyond this single committee meeting and then us debating it on the floor tomorrow. It's too fast, it's too quick for issues this big. And then also it just feels like the reason that we're even having to hear this has nothing to do with what our constituents asked us to do. And that feels very wrong. So I'll be down on the bill today. Thank you.
Members, having concluded debate, Representative Andrade, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair. And I want to thank Representative Beltran for kind of bolstering what I was going to really remind the committee in my close. I've heard a lot of arguments about kind of unilateral power, abuses of power, the timeliness, the necessity of this. But Representative Beltran made the point and outlined something that I want everybody on this committee, on the Judiciary Committee, to fully understand, and that is that absolutely no man or institution in the United States is above the law. No man or institution is exhibiting unilateral power in this circumstance. One judge struck down this law that the legislature passed, not another entity from a different frame of government. And the timeliness is there. In less than 9 days, oral arguments are going to be heard about this very important bill with constitutional questions about whether or not deplatforming violates individuals' First Amendment rights and whether or not a state like Florida can come in and protect residents and consumers of platforms, not just of Disney Plus, but of Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, all of which are very capable and have not been hindered at all without a carve-out from protecting children, like Representative Learned's concern was made. Oral arguments on this issue are being heard on April 28th, about a week and a half from today. So to frame it on the overarching and most important goals of this bill and to eliminate a distracting carve-out that I think the majority of folks on this committee would agree was a poorly considered carve-out at the time is something that is meritorious, that will resolve a First Amendment question. And the importance of our Constitution, of our separation of powers, of our rights as individuals, that's why we're up here. We're supposed to be stewards of our separation of powers and our system of government. So to make sure that the questions that we tried to resolve in our underlying bill, like Representative Beltran pointed out, with that severability clause, which Judge Hinkle did disregard in his order, is something that is important. And this is the one opportunity we have between now and April 28th to resolve that, to make sure that those fundamental constitutional questions are the focus of the oral argument of the underlying bill. So I do hope that I can have y'all's favorable support today. And I do look forward to continuing the discussion about this the rest of the week.
Having closed on the bill, Lindsay, please call the roll.
Representatives Alexander?
No.
Beltran?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Lucetta Cabrera?
Yes.
Bird?
Yes.
Diamond?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Duggan has been excused. Fernandez Barkeen has been excused. Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
No.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco? Hart?
No.
Learned?
No.
Plakin? Roach?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trunow?
Yes.
Chair Grawl?
Yes.
Ex officio Clemens?
Yes.
13 yeas, 6 nays, Madam Chair.
By your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. There is no further business. Vice Chair Byrd moves to adjourn. Without objection, the motion passes, and we are adjourned.